Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We are the home for your conversation of the wardrobe of Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens. That coming up in just about 20 minutes. Right now, the game, 1 hour from kickoff, Ann Arbor, Michigan, a man who is embedded in Ann Arbor, courtesy of Cleveland.com. Find him on Twitter, at Doug LeMaurice. Good luck spelling it. It's Doug LeMaurice who joins us on the show. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Kenny. How you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Biggest question first, who wins this game today and why?
I think Ohio State, but I think it's close. My prediction was Michigan misses a last-second field goal that could tie it. I think it's that close. I think a lot of intangibles might lean Michigan's way right now. I feel like they got humbled early in the year against Wisconsin and sort of found themselves in the second half. I think they may have been tested a little more than Ohio State so far. Ohio State has better players, for sure. But I think Michigan might find a way to move the ball on this defense, and I think it's going to be a good game.
What did you think what the College Football Playoff Committee did with putting Ohio State number one?
I think Ohio State is going to end up number one. I thought maybe the fact that the Penn State game was a little bit close, I thought maybe it would take until this win over Michigan to get them back to number one. I think there are a lot of stats and analytics that the committee values that is going to favor Ohio State ahead of LSU. Ohio State is more balanced than the committee loves. Balance the fact that LSU's defense isn't as good as Ohio State's defense. Even though LSU has a chance to beat Georgia, I really think I was not shocked. Ohio State is number one now, and I think they have a good chance to be number one at the end.
Doug LeMaurice joining us on the show. Well, I thought it was a good setup, at least entertainment-wise, and some people listening in Ohio probably won't like this. I look back to 1969. I look back to, to 1995. You've brought up Tim Biakabutuka in that game before. I mean, that's a big one if Michigan ends up getting over and maybe it reignites things with Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, and against Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, the comparisons to 69 when Ohio State's defending national champion from 68. They're undefeated. They're number one. They come to Michigan Stadium. I think Michigan was number 12 then. They're number 13 now. That was Bo Schembechler's first year at Michigan, so obviously his first win over Ohio State. If this could be Jim Harbaugh's first win over Ohio State, he was brought to Michigan to bring back the era of Bo. I mean, there are crazy things that if it happened, but Ohio State would have to play less than its best, right? I think you look back on 69, and those Ohio State players would tell you we didn't play our best that day. Again, there just are some weird things that might make you think Michigan has some juju going for him, except the thing is they haven't been in, you know, they haven't won when it mattered in this game in a long time. So it's hard to pick against Ohio State until Michigan actually gets them.
Doug LeMaurice joining us on the show. When it comes to Michigan, I think one of the most disappointing things that I've thought about is that, you know, with Jim Tressel and with Urban and now with Ryan Day, they have made this game the focal point of their lives. With Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff, they talk so much about, well, we try to treat every game like it's Ohio State and Michigan. I think that kind of hurts. You go back to Bo Schembechler, there was something you did every single day that was dedicated to this football game, and I just don't think that you have the entire headspace that you need going into this game without doing it the way Ohio State's done and like Bo did.
No, and it's been a little weird. I mean, the idea that how could a guy who played quarterback at Michigan, who once guaranteed a win over Ohio State in this game, how could he not emphasize this game enough? That has been one of the surprising things about the Harbaugh era here. They haven't really developed a quarterback like you thought they might. That's been surprising. But that he has not taken this rivalry to that level. I do think it's interesting to watch this week because nobody could take this rivalry more seriously than Urban Meyer. It's impossible for Ryan Day to match Urban Meyer's level of vitriol in this rivalry. So if somehow Michigan breaks through, I wonder if people will say, hey, you know, we need to do like Urban did. But Urban was over the top in a very good way. Ryan Day absolutely respects it, though, and understands how important this is to Ohio State.
Urban's on campus right now. How much does Urban miss being on the sidelines?
You know what? I don't know if he does. I was out watching. I was out on their set. The Fox pregame show is here live at Ohio State. At Michigan Stadium, just like they were at Ohio Stadium last week. And just watching him on that set, like, he's happy. He looks happy. Like, I think he's happy that Ohio State is good and happy that Ryan Day is doing well. And he knows he has his fingerprints all over this team and all over this program. I don't think, of course there's some pull. I don't think he's going to sit here today and say, oh my gosh, how am I not coaching in this game? I think he's happy where he is, and he's going to be able to enjoy Ohio State trying to win. He feels a connection, but he doesn't have to feel the pressure, and I think he's in an okay spot with that.
So do you think he doesn't return to the sidelines anytime soon, or does that change?
I think he is not in a hurry to get back. Will he coach again? I think that's certainly possible. I don't think he'll coach next year. I don't think he's going to rush it. I think he likes the TV gig. I think he likes his family situation. I just think he can give this a couple years like this and then maybe find somewhere where he doesn't feel like he has to win a national championship all the time. Maybe he finds – he's referenced Mack Brown going back to North Carolina and really enjoying that. I don't know what that would be for Urban Meyer, but I don't think he's going to rush off to USC right now, and I think he seems pretty happy with his life.
Does a good job on that TV show. I think they all do, actually. Doug LaMaurice joining us on the show. Cleveland.com. What's changed for Shea Patterson over the last month? What's changed for this offense? Have they finally found that mix? It looks like they have.
I feel like they've bought into the Josh Gattis way of doing business. Obviously, Josh Gattis brought in from Alabama as the offensive coordinator to implement a spread scheme at Michigan. A little bit of a push and pull early on, I think, as they tried to figure out how to fit Gattis' offense and Harbaugh's offense together. I feel like what they're doing now, and Kenny, you would know this, I feel like it's a little bit like the Cleveland Browns light a little bit. They run some RPOs. They hit some stuff in the middle of the field. Patterson can move around, but they work best when they get the ball out of his hands quickly. They have a little bit of a rhythm to their offense, and I think if you're going to hit Ohio State's defense, you have to hit them in the middle with the run and the pass. You can't try to go wide on them, and the only way you're not going to block Chase Young, you're not going to stop him, so you have to get the ball out of Shea Patterson's hands before Chase Young gets to it. I think Michigan has a chance to do that today.
Doug LaMaurice with us, Cleveland.com on the hotline. Does Chase Young, is he still in the Heisman Trophy race?
I think Joe Burrow's got it. I think Chase Young might finish second. The suspension for two games obviously hurt Chase Young a lot, but I thought the second part of Chase Young's candidacy was all those quarterbacks, it had to be a mess. It had to be that you couldn't exactly figure out which quarterback it was. Was it Tua? Was it Jalen Hurts? Was it Justin Fields? Was it Joe Burrow? Was it Trevor Lawrence? And it's so clearly Joe Burrow now that when you are the quarterback of an undefeated team, that is the Heisman recipe. It is hard to beat that. It has become a quarterback award.
You're right. So
as great as Chase Young is, with what Burrow has done, the way he's transformed that program, the numbers he's put up, I think it would have been impossible for Chase Young to beat Joe Burrow this year. But I do think Chase is going to end up in New York.
Who do you got winning today, Doug? Do you got Wisconsin or Minnesota on the other side?
You know, I don't know enough about it. I am just not a Wisconsin believer. They are what they are, and that is a very good team. I never feel like it's an over-the-top team. They haven't competed with Ohio State. They're 1-10 against Ohio State in their last 11. Minnesota's the kind of game they can win. I like Minnesota's passing game. I kind of want Minnesota to win because I'd rather write about Ohio State versus Minnesota next week than an Ohio State-Wisconsin rematch. It'd be a big leap for P.J. Fleck and those guys to get this done. Paul Chris and the Badgers have been in big games. I think it's a coin flip, but if Minnesota can throw, they might have the two best receivers in the Big Ten. If they can throw, they can win.
How much more difficult could it be for Ohio State in that Big Ten championship game to see Wisconsin again, considering they've played them already once before and really boat raced them that first time?
Yeah, I mean, you get Ohio State on an indoor track in the dome in Indy, and that's just tough for anybody. It accentuates their athletic edge. So I don't think Wisconsin in that dome can compete. They played in 2017 when JT Barrett was coming off the knee surgery and Wisconsin hung around a little bit. You know, 2014, 59-0. That's why I think Minnesota could probably compete better with Ohio State, because Minnesota would have the passing game indoors. If it's Wisconsin, Ohio State again, I don't think it's close.
Where does Justin Fields to you? It's not even been a full year. Where does he rank among the best quarterbacks you've seen at Ohio State?
He's a combination of all the guys. I think the number one thing with him is he's in control like JT Barrett was, but he's more athletic than JT Barrett. He throws it better than JT Barrett, has a stronger arm, really accurate. He's more athletic as a runner. Both are powerful. But that's the thing that I've been impressed with Justin Fields is he hasn't made mistakes. He had a couple fumbles last week, but he's only thrown one pick. He's been in complete control of this offense from the get-go. And so I think he's like a JT Barrett plus. So he's more in control than maybe Braxton Miller or Terrell Pryor, guys who were great athletes but didn't run the offense as efficiently. So, I mean, he's a little bit like Troy. Like Troy Smith, 05-06. When he was making plays but also completely sure of himself, that's what Justin Fields reminds me of.
Doug LaMaurice joining us, Cleveland.com. Say Jim Harbaugh wins this game with Michigan. Say they win it. Does that change the future of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan?
Yeah, because you have to get the first one to have a chance to get back to level, right? So if Michigan wins today, then the conversation next year is, oh, well, now Ryan Day might start 0-2 against Michigan. Oh, can Harbaugh get two in a row? Oh, can Michigan get to Ohio State's level? If it turns out that Harbaugh beats them once, then Ohio State goes on another seven-game winning streak, then it's a blip. Then it's like, okay, well, Jim Harbaugh was, 1-8 against Ohio State. Has to at least get the first one to have a chance for it to be something. So that's why I think it would absolutely change the game for everybody. Not just because it's not about today. It's about what this conversation would be like a year from now if all of a sudden it's Michigan that's coming off a win in this series.
Doug LaMaurice joining us, Cleveland.com. Well, does it change maybe a little bit where his future goes, where he can go back? Like, does it free him to go to the NFL maybe?
Well, I mean, that is one of those reverse things, right? I mean, it happens with, like, football players all the time. You know, you think about Ohio State guys going pro. Maybe if they win the national title, they'll lose more guys because sometimes you can win. Success allows you to leave. Can Jim Harbaugh actually leave Michigan with a zero in the win column against Ohio State? Ooh. That would be a thing that would stick with you forever. So I think there is something to what you're saying that, like, if you at least get the one, now maybe you can look around. But at the same time, if you get the one, then maybe don't you want to stick around and see if you can make it two or three or four and bring Michigan all the way back? I don't know. I think he's in an interesting spot. I think Michigan, it's more difficult for Michigan than it is for Ohio State. Ohio State has more working for it as a national power. But if he gets one, I think it opens a lot of doors for him.
We got Doug LaMaurice with us, Cleveland.com. Final one, Freddie Kitchens wore a Pittsburgh Started It shirt. Your thoughts?
Yep. Sports are supposed to be fun. You can't hit people with a helmet. You can't do certain things, but it's about winning on Sunday. If the Browns lose to the Steelers on Sunday, maybe this becomes a thing. If they beat the Steelers on Sunday, it won't matter, but I'm not going to get on Freddie for trying to have a good time for a franchise that's been down in the dumps for 20 years.
If you're Mike Tomlin, final one, actually, if you're Mike Tomlin and you win tomorrow, you have to wear a Pittsburgh Finished It shirt then, don't you? In the
100%.
Press conference. Yeah,
I
knew it.
You have it up right now just in case.
Yep. Doug, we thank you very much for the time. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the day, buddy. All the best.
Thanks, Ken. See
ya. See you later, buddy. The incomparable Doug LaMaurice, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter at Doug LaMaurice. He's fantastic. So fantastic. All right. I was going to talk college football, and I'm still going to talk college football coming up at 11:40. I promise. Okay? 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to tell you why Georgia's a patsy. I'm going to tell you why Ohio State leapfrogged to number one over LSU. And I don't think it has anything to do with anything that's on the football field right now. I'm going to tell you all that, but Tom is just licking his chops because he saw the photo of Freddie Kitchens yesterday wearing a Pittsburgh Started It shirt. I'm going to try to explain that when we come back. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
hell of a test. I'm still driving. I ain't settled down. That's a good tune right there. 855-212-4CBS. Former Razorback. There were 15 players out yesterday with the mumps. They kept it close against Mizzou, at least for a while. Coming up at noon Eastern, Brian Broaddus is going to join us. 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. All right, I'm going to let it be known now. Tom is beside himself. I'm going to say my piece. Maybe I'll let Tom in. Hopefully I'll use up all the allotted time and Tom won't be able to talk. Because I said it. I said it off air. I woke up this morning and I saw the shirt and I went, oh boy. I saw it. I went, it's on. I die for it. Name me right now. Don't give me the European soccer stuff. I trust those rivals. I respect those rivals, but stop. Give me good, strong, legendary professional sports rivals right now. Go. Because today's a day
Yankee
for rivals.
Red Sox?
For today's a day for rivals. You can name the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm just saying in general. It's a proverbial question, basically.
Okay.
Because I look at Ohio State, Michigan's today. Alabama, Auburn's today. You can switch it out no matter what part of the country you're from. You can switch it out which one you think is 1 and 1A and which one you think is the best. Army Navy is in a different category. It's a special category. It's a celebration of America and the service people with those two fine places, and we hold them in a different category. At least I do. But you see the college football rivalries. Yesterday, the Apple Cup. You have the Palmetto Bowl. You have the Egg Bowl, what happened the other day, which I shouldn't laugh about it, but still. You have all those different things. You have so many great rivalries, basically no matter what the record is. In pro sports, you have to earn it. And rivalries can come from anywhere, and they're fleeting. They really are. Like, there was a time where usually wherever the pro football team was, that's where you got most of your talent. Before the days of internet, of coast-to-coast scouting, of Blustro and the other different places that would help you scout, it was, hey, we're from Ohio. Well, we're going to get primarily Northeast Ohio guys. Hey, we're from Pittsburgh, so there's going to be a lot of guys from West Virginia and Aliquippa and up to Erie and maybe the middle of the way. Things change in the late 60s, early 70s, but for the historic teams, they usually came from those areas. Detroit, Chicago, Packers, Green Bay and Chicago, that type of thing. Things change over that time. And now it's harder and harder and harder because these guys grow up differently. I think they have rivalries with their high schools. They have rivalries with their colleges that mean a great deal to them. In the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, you really got to play for something. You have to make it personal somehow. And I demand entertainment. Freddie Kitchens wearing a Pittsburgh Started It shirt on a Friday before the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game on Sunday. That takes stones. And you could say it's stupid, but I demand entertainment. I demand a personal feeling with the rivalry. And I feel that Freddie Kitchens went Buddy Ryan wearing the Pittsburgh Started It shirt. I saw Mike Tomlin do the yawning motion in a preseason interview when asked about Odell Beckham Jr. I love that when Odell Beckham Jr. caught the ball, which really should have been a touchdown, but caught the ball at the one, he turns over to the Pittsburgh sidelines, does a yawn himself. I want pro sports to matter to the guys playing it. Usually it's just, this team's better, this team will prove to be better, cash your checks, away you go. I can name really great historic rivals of the past. Kansas City and Oakland. Boston, L.A. because of the NBA Finals. Again, they're playing for something. But recently, over the last 10, 15, 20 years, where have you really found it? Baltimore and Pittsburgh's been way more of a rivalry than Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and historically, that's supposed to be the rivalry. Same guys working in the same type of towns. Same business, steel, oil. Same type of blue-collar type of mentality. You went to Old Municipal, you went to Old Three Rivers, and it was that same type of, oh, we're going to get in an argument over here. You had West Virginia getting both into it, Columbus getting both into it. It was that type of feeling. You don't have really great personal NFL rivals anymore. The NFL tries to do it as much as they can, but you know what? If the Giants and Cowboys both suck, yeah, you're gonna play for the draft. You'll play for the trade. You'll play for those type of things. Washington used to have a rivalry with everybody. Now Washington's an embarrassment. The rivalry is themselves. The Giants' rival right now is themselves. The Eagles have something to play for. The Cowboys right now, they're 6-6. I think they're themselves are their biggest rival right now too. There has been historic rivals that mean a little bit to those fan bases, but it hasn't meant much to the players. If I can make it mean more to the players, the actual participants in it, I think it's entertaining. And I
know. I can't believe this is your argument.
I'm sorry, but I'm making it.
This game doesn't have juice unless he wears this T-shirt in public.
Of course it has juice. Yes, of course it has juice.
The whole thing everyone was trying to tell me about why Myles Garrett was acceptable
here comes outrage,
was
Tom.
Because of how amazing this rivalry is. Now, 3 weeks later, you're trying to tell me that the rivalry lacks juice unless the head coach goes out in public.
It doesn't lack juice. There's no such thing as lacking juice. It just adds juice onto it. There's no cup runneth over of juice until a guy hits a guy over the head with a helmet.
Maximum juice, regardless.
No, there's no such thing
as
too much juice. There's no in this rivalry, in a rivalry in pro sports, unless a guy hits another guy over the head with a helmet, I got to say, there's no such thing as too much juice. There's no such thing, and you know that.
I think there's
no
such thing as maximum juice. I don't think that the coach T-shirt adds any juice to this game. What's the level?
What's the level of juice?
People have been talking about wearing Myles Garrett jerseys to Pittsburgh for weeks
now
already.
Where's the end all be all of juice? I need to know where the maximum juice level is.
This is it. It's when a player takes a helmet off a quarterback and hits him with it, then alleges a racial slur, and his team stands behind him. So both teams are entrenched that they were in the right, and you're heading into a game with professional athletes, giant, terrifying men who are incredibly angry at each other heading into this game.
That's what makes it even more fun.
The T-shirt doesn't mean anything. And I said to you that I'm not angry about this, and I don't even want to talk about it. But, of course, we blew it up into something anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think this is something that I'm outraged about, Freddie Kitchens. It's something I'm concerned about. And this comes back to the Browns culture that thinks it's us against the world when it's not. And I'm trying to see it from your guys' point of view. I produce 8 hours of radio a week from Cleveland. I like the Browns. I like Baker coming out. I wanted to see this team succeed. I still do. So I'm watching as almost like a fan would, and I'm concerned about immaturity, which is the common theme here between coach and quarterback, and this idea that they need to continually manufacture drama to motivate themselves. And it's amazing that you say this because your second favorite team that you worship is the Patriots. And it's the opposite philosophy.
And what did Bill
bulletin board material, but it's the opposite philosophy of saying we need to manufacture constant drama in order to perform. It's literally the opposite philosophy.
They don't. Wait a minute. The New England Patriots don't manufacture drama.
Not internally.
You didn't know anything. You don't know anything about the Deflategate? That's not internally manufactured drama?
Did they report themselves for Deflategate?
Doesn't matter. Did they still deflate footballs?
Right.
That's not internally manufactured.
But that's not what I'm talking about, Ken. I'm saying when you intentionally make drama up to motivate the team, how professionals need to be motivated. No, it's
on
not the same
thing. On national television, Tom Brady went on national television and told everybody that the New England Patriots are disrespected and everybody thinks they're dying. That's what Tom Brady did on national TV last year.
Right.
You cannot tell me
that
it's not internally manufactured. You cannot tell me that. There's degrees of internally manufactured. But because the New England Patriots have 6 Super Bowls that back them up, or at the time, 5, because they have 6 Super Bowls to back them up, and because the Browns have been a clown show for 20 years, yes, there's a bit of a sliding scale, but it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all based in what?
I disagree.
It's based in an entertainment business. Yes, it is. And now I have more people putting eyes on things. Because I'll tell you this, if the Browns lose on Sunday to the Pittsburgh Steelers, this will be a major talking point on Monday. And if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm getting a Pittsburgh finished shirt, and Mike Tomlin is wearing it to the post-game press conference.
But you know he wouldn't do that.
Ass.
No, he's not.
He wouldn't
doing
do that?
That. Of course
Mike
not.
Mike Tomlin,
and you know the reason why,
motion,
too, because
Mike Tomlin,
a real
who
head
did the
coach.
Yawn motion, wouldn't do that. Mike Tomlin, who did the yawning motion, wouldn't do that. Mike Tomlin, who has talked about other football teams before, wouldn't do that.
If he
Mike
does
Tomlin
that,
wouldn't
he's
do that.
Lost to. If he does that, he's lost to. Don't stoop. A maturity level that's beneath the ground.
We are reaching peak. We are reaching peak juice. We are reaching peak outrage, Tom. Both things are
I want
at
the Browns to win. This
Chernobyl
is not the
levels.
Way. This is not the way. And the thing is, you know the blueprint is right in front of you of what the way is, and you're trying to make what you're
what's
doing,
the way?
Which isn't the
what's,
way.
What's
the
blueprint?
The way,
me the blueprint.
Is, the way is that Antonio Brown is such a distraction to this team. It's so annoying that even though he's going to absolutely help us win football games in a position of need – and our star player wants him here, we are still going to get him out of here because that's not the way we operate. We do not tolerate these things. Our players don't run their mouths in the media. We certainly don't take helmets off and swing them at people. We don't create a circus around the team as a means of motivation. No successful teams do this. That's not the way this works. That's Rex Ryan garbage football that fails in the long run.
Would Mason answer the question, would Mason Rudolph still be quarterback if he had Antonio Brown?
On the Steelers?
855-212-4CBS.
I'm confused about what the gotcha there was.
Would he still be the quarterback
Probably
of the
not.
Pittsburgh
he failed
Steelers?
Epically in every way. He could have used some catches, sure.
Would he still be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Would he have, going to Antonio Brown every play, would he still be quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I mean, it probably thinks
the starting quarterback.
What is that? What is the point, Ken?
The old champion's pose.
Why? What point did you just make?
Because you're giving me a blueprint. It was supposed to be, we're going to do better with getting rid of some of these guys. I don't know. They're 6-5. And they're a playoff team right now.
The Patriots are...
Patriots?
I thought you were talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So you're giving me the blueprint to basically go and get the most legendary quarterback that has ever played the game, and then I'm able to have the freedom to get rid of those type of players willy-nilly whenever I deem possible.
That wins That's all not a the blueprint. Time operates. They
That's
operate
not a blueprint.
In a very specific way, and people ignore it because they want to be entertained or they want a certain amount of clap back to their rival fan base or whatever nonsense is going on, and that's not what this is about. That's not what winning football games is about.
But you're not seeing it. It's not a blueprint. It was supposed to be a pipe dream until the Patriots actually did it. All these teams go and they chase the Patriots. Listen, you can get coaches from their coaching tree, and usually those guys fail. You can get players from their team, and some of those guys do very, very well. Most of those guys who aren't quarterbacks, and even some of those quarterbacks, go out there and they just basically waste everybody's time until they can get back with the Patriots because they realize how important winning is. They have a system there, but if they still had Drew Bledsoe as their quarterback, there's no such thing as a quote-unquote system of the Patriots or a blueprint of the Patriots because Bill Belichick's ass would have been fired during the 2001 season. I mean, we have to be honest about this. We call it a blueprint. It's not a blueprint. It's their system. It's their thing. It's special to them. Any other team that tries to emulate it, you're more than likely going to be out on your ass.
Okay, so Freddie Kitchens knows what he's doing, totally.
Not saying he knows what he's doing.
And this,
I'm not saying
totally
that. I never said that once.
Which I'm not
I
upset
never
about.
Said
I'm
that
just,
once.
I'm just confused what he's thinking about.
You said you're not upset. You spent a lot of time
it's
pretty
same
outraged
thing as,
here.
It's the same thing as Baker Mayfield last year tweeting.
Your voice sounds
tweeting
pretty strong
people,
for not being upset.
Baker Mayfield tweeting people before on Saturday night, late night before games. It's like, where's your head at? What are you thinking about? Why are you thinking about clapping back at the people who were defending Mason Rudolph or Pittsburgh or whatever?
But I want to know.
Move
I want to know something here. I want to know something.
Coach the team. Yeah.
Am I or am I not entertained? That was the original argument.
I want to be entertained by wins. I don't want to
yes,
be entertained
and if they,
by
and if
a
they
circus
win,
around the team.
And if they win, you see, if they win, it makes it so much better. And if they lose, well, then you can go after the coach.
This ties into your argument. If you also only want to win the Super Bowl by beating the Pats because it makes it better, which I don't agree with either.
No.
I don't think these things make it better.
Well,
I just
can't win the Super
wins.
Bowl by beating the Pats
just
because they're both AFC teams. But I want to get to the Super Bowl through beating the Pats because that makes the story even better. I love a good story. People don't believe me or people don't agree with me, and that's fine. I want a better story. This makes it a better story. What I remember about, and I'm going to go to break. I know Peter's probably fuming right now, and I'm sorry, Peter and Tom, I'm sorry for dragging you through it. Oh, I'm not sorry, but whatever. One of the things that I remember most about the Steelers and the Ravens, and Steeler fans and Ravens fans are going to remember this, are the middle finger t-shirts that Terrell Suggs brought to the press conference. I remember that. I remember the Ravens trying to play daytime games in Pittsburgh because it bothered them about playing nighttime games in Pittsburgh because of how that mixed up, because they really wanted to mess with the Steelers' heads. That's the thing I like. There's a lot of things, X's and O's, that we can get into. But part of my entertainment are the legendary stories and the characters. And if they go out there and they lose this game, which they should win. They should win this game.
If they lose this game,
then part of this, and you know Pittsburgh's going to run with it, is that Freddie Kitchens wore that shirt, and they are going to hammer Freddie in Cleveland on Monday. Guarantee it. But if you win that game, it's Ric Flair, it's entertainment, it's sellouts, and that's what I want in my professional sports. If it's college, I'll say different. But that's what I want in pro sports.
It's either the right move or the wrong move before the fact. It's not the right or the wrong move after the fact. That's not how anything works.
We'll see where they come out on it. 855-212-4CBS. It's amazing. This actually goes with what I'm going to say next, and this is about college football. Folks, Georgia fan, I'm sorry. I think you're a patsy, and you have to remember, it's entertainment over credentials.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Keep it up, Shep. Keep it up. Keep the music up, baby. How good a feeling is it? Like you hear that music and all of a sudden, Uncle Vern, Jordan Hare Stadium. 86,000. An Auburn team, people left for dead. Now back in the picture and coming to town, the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's the Iron Bowl on CBS. They're doing the whole B-roll thing. Showing all the sponsors. Then all of a sudden the camera goes back over and it cuts back in. Then they lower the music. They're like, Auburn coming into this football game at 9-1, looking fantastic. It's back when they had 11 games. And I'll tell you something, Gary Danielson, with Tracy Wolfson on the sideline to join us soon. This is something that Mike Shula has been looking forward to the entire year. And then Gary Danielson goes on into whatever. Was it Gary Danielson back then, Tom? Probably wasn't. He was on ABC, wasn't he?
Yeah, who was right before that?
I don't know. So good. God, this is a good tune. Unpaid Testimonial, and I know it's the brand. Oh, man. I know it's the brand. You can lower it now, Shep.
Oh, it's Todd Blackledge in there, right?
Todd! Hey, no offense to Todd Blackledge, and I know Gary Danielson committed a bit of a faux pas last week, and he apologized for that.
He's taking heat.
Oof. Oh, boy. Yeah, rightfully so. I'm sitting there laughing about the heat he's taking for laughing about something else. I'm like, boy, shouldn't do that. But I thought it was a good apology by Gary, my man, as Brett Musburger used to call him, partner. When it comes to the music, nobody touches it. Nobody touches CBS when it comes to the music.
It's a gorgeous broadcast. It really
MLB
is.
On Fox. Like, MLB on Fox is pretty good. The da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, that's pretty good. But then there's CBS college football, CBS college basketball. Nothing touches it. I give it – the Masters, you give them credit for, right? Even though they play it on ESPN, so maybe it's just the Masters music. But when they play that music coming back from break during the Masters, my God. Oh.
Sets the tone, Ken.
And Jim Nance – then Bernhard Langer on Saturday at Amen Corner. And you hear Jim Nance's voice. I've done it for Tom so many times, and he loves it every time I do it. Old pro known for the open, Tom Watson, where Eagles dare. And they got CBS on NFL is good. The old CBS NASCAR is even good. I don't know who makes the music. It's like the old Jim Johnston from the WWF. Now E. Nobody touches CBS when it comes to the themes. Like, most of them are good. Sunday Night Football, pretty good. Even the old, like, for Thursday Night Football, that was pretty good, too. But CBS college football, oh, my God. On a different level. On another level.
Yeah, it's NBA and NBC good.
Yeah, NBA, and probably the best of all time is probably John Tesh's Round Ball Rock, that's NBA on NBC. Because then you had the old voice guy, and then Marv Albert would come in. And he would do the whole thing. 19,000 here at Madison Square Garden. And it was just, yeah, it was great.
There we go.
And you had like the lead up to it. You have to have the old lead up to it where they would have like that like laser show where they'd show the peacock. And the peacock would turn and it would like, dun, dun, dun. It'd be like a Saturday afternoon.
That's right, yes.
The Eastern Conference Finals. The New York Knicks. And the Chicago Bulls. And then it would just go, and then Marv Albert welcomes you to it. It's him and Mike Fratello. Oh, my God. I mean, it's positively sexual the way I'm feeling right now. 855-212-4CBS. Hey, you want the truth, you got the truth. I will say this. Coming up at 2 Eastern, Anthony Lima will be on. And I think him and Tom actually agree about Freddie's shirt. So you guys can have a great big agreement fest.
College football game. Twitter does not. At least Ohio.
Oh, no.
At least Cleveland, Ohio Twitter does not.
Someone called you a milk drinking crybaby.
I don't even understand what that means.
It's okay.
I just want you guys
doesn't
to
matter.
Win. I'm sorry that I care
no,
about you guys.
No, that's the problem. You want the Browns to win your way. That's the difference.
No.
Yes, it is. You don't want them to just win. They've been winning. They've won three in a row. You want them to win your way, Tom.
Three in a row in the middle of a regular season when you've already basically lost. The season is not lost, but basically lost the
not
season.
Lost yet.
Not, that's the same thing as saying, like, Adam Gase is some kind of, like, revelation because he won three games in a row. I mean, what are we talking about?
Well,
this
we're
is
not talking
the, these
about
aren't
much.
The wins that matter. They,
no,
they're professional
not.
Athletes. They're supposed
well, you
to win
something to get somewhere.
Yeah. But you don't go 0-16. Like, this guy is explaining to me that, like, I don't realize the only reason professional sports exists is for our entertainment. Like, seriously?
I just listen.
You think I don't realize
if
that?
If he wears – now, listen. But, let me break it down. I want to get into college football. So I got to say this very quickly because I got to bring up it goes right along with what I'm saying when it comes to the college football playoff here. But let me just make this quick, and then we'll bring it back probably later on during Five Burning. We also have Brian Broaddus joining us in 20 minutes, so I got to be quick. Less than 20 minutes. Is that – I'll point it out. In all honesty, if they lose tomorrow, if the Browns lose to Pittsburgh tomorrow, I will probably rip Freddie Kitchens up and down, probably rip the Browns up and down, probably have a problem with him wearing that shirt. Let's just be serious. What I'm saying, and I think this kind of got lost, and now I'm not going to have a lot of time to talk about college football and about Georgia, because I just checked the clock, thank God. The difference is that I do crave I crave guys doing things differently. I like it. It excites me when somebody puts themselves out there and they become part of the storyline. Now, ultimately, I know that that is what football coaches don't want. Most football coaches don't want. We're talking about football coach here. What most football coaches don't want, I know that's what most organizations don't want. They don't want guarantees. They want things to fly under the radar. They want things to remain quiet. That's what they go for. I get it. But when it's not, and when I hear like such things as guarantees, such things as any of this, it adds a certain element to the story. And I think at times, and this is where I get a little bit cross with the NBA, I need villains. I can't love you all. I have to have a dislike for you. Like, I love Russell Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook because, as a fan, I love Russell Westbrook because he's a red ass. Because he'll cuss out anybody, he'll cuss me out if he doesn't like it. I like that. It's fun. I also like it that he's a ball hog and he gets hammered for it all the time. Him and James Harden. James Harden doesn't have the type of personality he does, but you get what I'm saying here. I don't like, hey, we're all buddies, everything's hunky-dory, and even if we lose, we're all going to be on each other's podcasts and TV shows on HBO and Showtime anyway, so it really doesn't even matter. I can't stand that. What makes sports fun, what makes what we're about to watch in 7 minutes and then later on today at 3:30 on CBS fun is that no matter what is said, there is going to be people who hate one side or the other. And so when he does wear it, I know that if the Browns don't win, there's going to be hell to pay for Freddie Kitchens. Rightfully so. But if they win it, and he's wearing it, and he's even wearing it in the postgame press conference, away a rivalry goes. And in pro sports, it's a very special thing. Brian Broaddus, 105.7, 105.3, The Fan in Dallas, up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.